All right, well, open your Bibles to Ephesians. We're getting a series in Ephesians started. This is our second message. So I will read Ephesians 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you don't feel like we can't get the car into first gear on this series that we've been started in Ephesians. We had this same passage last time, except I didn't get to verse 2, the greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning is part 2. We're going to spend the whole time on that greeting. But I'm glad to spend some unhurried time on this greeting with you. This was not a throwaway line for the Apostle Paul. This was not a space filler in his letters. He said, well, I need to write something here, so I'm going to put this. This was important to him, this greeting that he wrote. And he thought about it. And it was important to the Holy Spirit as well. Of the letters that Paul wrote that are included in the New Testament, all of them began with this same greeting, or just a very slight variation. Some have just a couple of words different. And do you know how many that is? How many letters Paul wrote in the New Testament? Do you have a guess? You don't have to say it out loud. It's 13. It's 13. And some say 14, because Paul may also have written the epistle to the Hebrews. Some insist that he did. I don't insist that he did. But I think one of the weightiest arguments that Paul did not write the epistle of the Hebrews is it doesn't start like this. It doesn't begin with this greeting or anything like it. It begins very differently. And so that's a fairly weighty argument. If Paul did write Hebrews, and perhaps he did, it doesn't say, so we don't know. If he did, it would be the only one of his epistles in the New Testament that did not begin with this greeting. It's a short, pithy greeting that's found in all of his letters, or all of his letters save one, if you think he wrote Hebrews. It summarizes and captures and encapsulates the content of all of Paul's letters together. So if you were to put everything that Paul wrote in all those letters in a summary, a good summary would be this greeting. Well, you might say, well, in that case, it's not a very good introduction specifically to Ephesians, and that's the series that we're beginning, because it could serve equally well to introduce any of his letters, or all of his letters. And so it could equally well be an introduction to Philemon, which starts with this greeting, or 2 Timothy, or Romans. But I think that's actually just what makes this especially fitting to introduce Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Because Ephesians is a concise summary of Paul's doctrine. Ephesians is a distillation of Paul's teaching from all the rest of his letters, and that's a good way to think about Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he carefully penned from prison in Rome to the saints, from the church or churches, possibly, that he wrote this letter to. He wrote it while he was under house arrest in rented quarters, chained to a Roman guard, waiting for his case to be heard by Caesar against the false charges of the Jews, and he waited at least for 2 years, because that's how the book of Acts ends, by telling us of Paul in that condition. And Paul wrote all of the letters, including this one, as he's already said, as an apostle, a sent one of Christ Jesus. And so the emphasis of Paul's teaching in his letters, in this letter especially, reflects the teaching of his Lord. So he writes, grace to you and peace from our God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a good summary of what Christ taught, who was full of grace and truth. John says, out of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And so grace characterizes not only Paul's doctrine, his teaching, his ministry, but his Lord, the one that he was an apostle to. So the greeting is important. It's not just to be scanned quickly and skipped over. It's written that you might hear it and might believe it. And I want to leave you with this greeting ringing in your ears this morning. So, the greeting, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've divided my message this morning into three parts. First, the good things promised in this greeting, that is, grace and peace. Second, the giver of these good things, that is, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And third, the persons to whom those good things are promised in this greeting, and that is to you. So number one, the good things promised, grace and peace. And as we've already said, this was Paul's characteristic greeting for his letters. This is the specific way he announces, oh, it's one of his letters. And so if someone who's barely listening would say, oh, that's Paul, because that's the way he introduces his letters. This was Paul's trademark greeting. And so you might think it's like a radio host or like a news anchor who has a call sign. And you might imagine them having to think of that before they use it, and imagining, thinking of ways to come up with something that would be distinct and memorable and brief, and then being able to say it. So I want to speak about how Paul made this greeting. Paul did the same thing. He came up with a distinctive greeting for all of his letters. And here's how. He took the common, ordinary greeting from the East. He combined it with the common, ordinary greeting from the West, and then made one little change, one little tweak, one little alteration that makes all the difference in the world. So let me go through those components with you. He started with a common greeting from the East. And I'm going to start there because he didn't change that part of the greeting at all. He just gave it. And the greeting is this: peace to you. Peace to you. Okay? And that was used in countries that are from the East. For example, it was used in Egypt. Joseph Steward caught up with some of Joseph's brothers and said, peace be to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And so he announces, peace be to you. The Babylonians used it. So Nebuchadnezzar, when he wrote to the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live in all the earth, he began this way, may your peace abound. The Persians use it. And so we find in the book of Ezra, which had some official letters in it, the king sent an answer to Rehum the commander, to Shimshai the scribe, to the rest of their colleagues who lived in Samaria, and in the rest of the provinces beyond the river, peace. And now, and then it gets to the contents of his letter. The Israelites, the Hebrews, certainly used this greeting, peace to you. Story of David and Abigail, and her husband was Nabal. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name, and you shall say, have a long life, peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. That's the greeting that's from David, because that's the greeting that they used, the typical greeting that everyone used in that part of the world, including Israelites. And even right up to the Lord's time, the Lord, when he sent out his disciples two by two, he said, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be on this house. And he said that is the greeting that they are to give in that case. So peace to you. And that's what Paul uses. He doesn't change it at all. He uses the typical greeting used by the countries from the East. He combined it with the typical greeting in the West. And there's a different one that was used in the countries in the West, both in Latin and in Greek. Not, it wasn't peace, but it was joy. Joy. And so the command that was used there in those languages was literally a command to rejoice. But it was so often said, and even said without thinking, oh, this is a command that I'm giving to the person. It was just the thing to say when you meet someone, that the Bible translators probably rightly often just translate it as greetings, or some of the older ones translate it as hail. But it really says rejoice. It's really the word for joy. And let me show you a few times in Scripture that is used. It's used in some letters in Scripture. Claudius Lysias, who was in charge of the prisoner Paul, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. That's the way it's translated. It's literally rejoice. It's the word rejoice. The apostles at the Jerusalem Council sent a letter to all the churches, And they sent this letter by them. This is Acts 15:23. The apostles and the brethren who are elders to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Rejoice is the word that they used there. James, his letter. James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Rejoice. That's the typical greeting. The angel Gabriel, interestingly, when he came to announce to Mary, that's the greeting that he used as well. Coming in, he said to her, greetings, rejoice. But it's they translated greetings. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation, what kind of greeting this was. Well, part of it was the normal greeting, just rejoice. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was pondering probably that part of the greeting. The Lord Jesus, in fact, the resurrected Christ used this greeting the first time that he appeared to the women, and it was told in the Gospel of Matthew. We had it not too many weeks ago. And behold, Jesus met them saying, greetings, rejoice. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. So the same word is used in all that. It's the word for joy. And let me tell you how to pronounce the word in Greek, kairēn, because Paul changes it to a sound-alike word, charis. He changes it from kairēn to charis, which means something different. It doesn't mean joy or rejoice. It means grace. And so this is how Paul made his greeting. He took the greeting from the east, which is peace to you. He combined it with the greeting from the west, which is joy, kairēn, and he changed it to a sound-alike grace, charis. Instead of kairēn, he says charis to you. And there it is. There it is. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is the difference between the good things that Paul offers in his greetings, which is grace and peace, and the good things that the world offers in its greetings, east and west, which is peace and joy? And I want to start with the good thing offered in the greeting from the east, again, because it's the same. They're both offering peace, and it's unaltered in Paul's greeting. The Lord Jesus Christ said this to his disciples, John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And Paul, writing as the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, gives the same peace, not as the world gives it, but as Christ gave to his disciples, because he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the same sort of peace. So what's the difference between the peace that the world talks about and gives in many languages in their greeting and the peace that the Lord gives? What's the difference between these two kinds of peace? Is the peace that the Lord gives, by comparison, deeper, richer, higher, fuller, more whole, more ennobled, more serious, more spiritual, more inward? Well, there's a clue, and that is that Paul didn't need to invent a new word for peace. He used the same word that everyone else was saying. He didn't need to invent a word that no one had heard of before, or a word that no one ever used before, nor did he need to alter this word like he did with the word for joy. He uses the same word with the same meaning. The world talks about peace and joy all the time. It's frequently found on their lips. They can conceive of it very well and name it with the right word, peace or joy, without ever having it. And so everyone knows what peace means, and few actually have it. And so the difference from the peace that the Lord Jesus gives, my peace I give unto you, not like the world's peace, the peace that Paul gives in his greeting, the difference between that and the peace that the world gives in its greetings is one is the real peace and the other is the counterfeit. The other is a fake peace. The world conceives of peace very well. As I said, they use the right word for it without ever experiencing the peace that they're talking about. And I'll tell you why. Who is the world's peace for? Who is the world's peace for? It's for those who deserve it. The world's peace is for those who deserve it. And this is why you hear so much boasting and bragging about free will and all the things that free will is able to perform. If it just can put together the right motive, free will can do these great things. Well, contrary and opposite to what the world believes so fervently, peace is not for those who deserve it. But peace is for those who don't deserve it. Peace is for those who know that they don't deserve it, who know that they don't even begin to deserve it. That's who peace, true peace, the peace that Christ gives and that Paul's talking about is for. And that's why Paul changes that other greeting, the other part of the greeting from the West, joy, to it sound like grace, that is free gift, undeserved favor. And Paul needs to put that in somewhere, and he puts it in at the beginning. He always puts it before peace. It's never reverse. Paul never says, peace to you and grace. No, it's always grace to you and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ, because peace comes only from grace. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It won't come. It can't come from deserving. It can only come from grace. And so when Paul reduces his teaching even further to a smaller summary, a one-word summary, this greeting is a short summary of the teaching from Paul's letters that encapsulates it very well. Grace to you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. But when he has to make it even shorter, summary of his teaching, a one-word summary, he chooses that word. He chooses the word grace, as he does at the end of his letters, where he writes, grace be with you, because that's the key. That's where the peace, that's where all the good things, including joy, including peace, comes from. It comes from grace. And so Paul, when he has to reduce it to one word, he reduces it to grace. At the end of his letters, grace be with you. That's his desire for his readers. Or chapter 3 in verse 2, where Paul explains his ministry here in Ephesians. He calls it the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. That's Paul's ministry. It's the stewardship of God's free gift, his undeserved favor, its grace. And that's why Paul preaches, teaches, sings, writes about grace all the time. You can never hear grace often enough. You can never cling to it too tightly. Or you can never understand too well that peace comes only from grace and not from any deserving. In fact, no one ever grasps that fully. No one ever believes that completely in this life because of the weakness and the frailty of our flesh and its disobedience to the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that can teach you that peace comes only from grace, only as a free gift and only as undeserved favor. The sinful heart hates nothing more than grace, and Satan himself never tires of attacking grace because he knows that that and that alone means his defeat. So in the hour of temptation, it's the hardest thing imaginable to believe the amazing truth that peace with God, forgiveness of sins, full favor in God's sight, comes only by grace, entirely apart from deserving. The words are easy to say, grace and peace, they flow very freely, but it's hard to be persuaded in your heart that this is true, that peace comes only from grace. But in trouble, in sickness, in poverty, in the hour of death, when the world's peace that comes by deserving flees because it was always a counterfeit, it never really was peace, the Lord Jesus speaks his peace that comes by grace, and that's a peace that remains and prevails and that wins the victory, even in the midst of temptation and trial and even in the midst of death, because it's real. So number one, the good things promised, and it's grace and peace in that order, because the peace and all the good things come from grace, grace and peace. The good things promised is grace and peace. Second, this is the second part, the giver of those good things. It's God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've had recently a couple of messages on the deity of Christ. I showed you a number of places where Scripture just calls Jesus God. But more often even than that, is places where Scripture speaks of Jesus doing the things that only God can do. And this is one of them, because not only God the Father is the giver of grace and peace, but also the Lord Jesus Christ. This would be blasphemous. This would be illegitimate if Christ were not God. And so Paul writes about this grace and peace that's from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John, which we just finished today in our Sunday school class, over and over again makes the argument, because Christ over and over again made this argument when he walked on this earth, that Jesus is God because he does the works of God. He performs what only God can do, and so he himself is God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks about peace, says, "My peace I give to you." He's not like the apostles, like in the greeting, where Paul says, "Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul doesn't say, "It's not from me. I'm not able to give you peace. It's not my peace I'm giving you. I'm giving you peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." But the Lord Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." And so Paul includes him here with God the Father. They're both givers of peace. This is not the work of a creature, even the most glorious and beautiful creature. This is the work of a creator, the one who creates grace and who creates peace. And this is why Satan also never tires of attacking the deity of Christ and produces many counterfeits and twistings of Scripture in order to confuse that great teaching. So peace only comes from grace, God's grace, and God's grace is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why God is mentioned along with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've already said that God's grace is the hardest thing to believe in the hour of temptation, that God gives peace to the undeserving. But in the hour of temptation, see in your mind's eye, through Scripture, the cross of Christ, and ask God to help you see it with fresh eyes, to be shocked, as you should be, by what you see there, to see God's own Son suffering and dying on the cross. And ask yourself, which is harder to believe? That God gives peace, grace, favor to the undeserving, or that God would put his Son to death on a cruel and wicked cross, who is God himself, and then believe them both together, because they both stand and they both fall together. Christ died and suffered on that cross in order that God's grace might go only to the undeserving. So peace only comes from grace, and that grace is only found in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get your peace not by grace, but by deserving. And that's the way people get their peace. That's the world's peace. That's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, "My peace I give to you," not as the world gives, not the customary way that people get peace. Do I give peace to you? If you get your peace not by grace, but by deserving, you may believe in God, many people do, but you'll never know him as your Father. You'll always know him as your cosmic jailer, with a furrowed brow and a frown, constant frown towards you. This is why the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There's no other way to know God as your Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so grace and peace are from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why grace kills sin. Do you believe that? That grace kills, in fact, grace is the only thing that can kill sin. Do you believe that? Grace kills sin because grace wants God to be God, that is, to be as he is, your kind and loving Heavenly Father who always cares for you. So grace wants God to be God, wants God to be who he is, who he's revealed himself to be, your kind and loving Father. When I say grace wants God to be God, I mean the person who has peace by grace, who's believing in grace in Christ, wants God to be God. But a God who wants to bless you because of your deserving, even a God who's rooting for you to deserve his blessing and really cheering for you and really would like to bless you, would like you to deserve his blessing, is a God who will never be your Father. You will never think of him as your Father. You will always think of him as your jailer. He will always remain to you a God that you really wish did not exist, truly. A God who wants to bless you and give you peace because of your deserving, the way the world gives peace. The sinful human heart doesn't want God to be God. Would like someone else to be God. Not God, but someone else to be God. In fact, the human heart wants to be God itself. That was the problem from the very beginning. And so to the same degree that the human heart makes effort to put on all of its finery of deserving before a God who gives peace to the deserving, to that same degree, that same heart fervently wishes that that God did not exist. And if you don't believe me, just read Romans chapter 7. Read Romans chapter 7, verse 8, where Paul talks about this. He talks about obedience to God's law apart from faith in Christ, which he experienced, and it produced in him resentment of the worst kind. And that's what he talks about. So the human heart is in a predicament that it just can't get out of. It can't do anything to get out of it. The harder it tries, the further it is from understanding God as the Father. And so it can't get out. There's no escape. There's nothing the human heart can do to make itself better. The harder it tries, the worse it becomes until it hears the word of grace and peace, which is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of peace to the undeserving. That's the only way out, is by believing that message of grace and peace that's only found in one place, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's from Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So first we've seen the good things promised in this greeting, which are grace and peace. And we've seen the giver of these good things, which is God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then third, finally, the persons to whom these good things are promised in the greeting. And that is to you, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To you, the ones mentioned already in verse 1, to the saints, who are saints because they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the saints who are at Ephesus, and I suspect a number of other churches, and I suspect that Trinity Bible Church as well, by the Holy Spirit applying these things to us, to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That's what makes them saints, is that they're believing in Christ Jesus. Paul writes this letter not for himself. He doesn't write on his own behalf. He writes it as an apostle with the full authority of Christ. And so every word of this letter must fall on your conscience and must be believed, including the words of this greeting. And so this greeting of grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is a word of faith to you, to every man, woman, boy, girl, within the hearing of my voice, and not to anyone else, but to you, because no one can believe it for you. Your parents can't believe it for you, the grace and the peace that's found in Christ, that's found in this greeting of this epistle. Your friends can't believe it for you. If they could, they would. They would gladly do it for you, but they can't. You must believe for yourself and find it to be true for yourself, the grace and peace that's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me end with this, and I can see I'm going to end a little early this morning, but let me end with this. The you here is plural. It's plural. Grace to you, because he's writing to the saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the grace and the peace that are found in Christ are both individual and also corporate. And you find that in Ephesians as well. For example, the way that Paul speaks about peace in the letter of Ephesians, it's used in both ways. In other words, it's used for our peace with God that we have as individuals. No one can believe for you. No one can have peace with God for you. And so it's used of our peace directed toward God, and it's also used of our peace that we have towards one another. The grace and peace includes that as well, and that's why it's written to you as a group. To you. It's for example, chapter 2 and verse 17. Paul says about Christ, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. That's peace between man and God. But he also writes chapter 4, verse 1 about, verse 3 about walking worthily, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's the peace that we have with one another. James chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to those who make peace." The good things given by God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, announced in this greetings, are both individual, our peace before God, and also corporate, our peace with one another. And so we must give each other grace in marriage, in families, in the church. And when we do, by overlooking what we could point out, so irritating to me that I'm gonna point this out, when we give grace, when we overlook those things, then there is peace. And that comes from God by grace. Well, I said I wanted to leave this greeting ringing in your ears to be heard and to be believed. And so let me read it one more time. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this wonderful greeting by which Paul begins and introduces this wonderful letter that's filled with wonderful things. And yet he never strays from this message of peace that comes about by grace. Father, we thank you that we've found this grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, and that through him we have peace with God. And we found you not to be our judge, our condemning judge, but our wonderful Father. You've put a desire in our heart that you be God, that no one else be God except for you, because you are our loving Father. And this is a peace that can be found not by any deserving whatsoever, but only by grace. We pray that you would protect us from those false teachers who would wish to contaminate the message of grace with a little piece of deserving, and to put that in along with grace. We pray that you would preserve us from that in our thinking and in our faith. And we pray that when trials come, and when Satan tries to wrench this wonderful truth from us, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would bring to mind verses like this that speak of your grace. It would cause us to hear and would cause us to believe and to prevail according to this faith and according to this grace and this peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.